Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba with my wife, Torina Mwamba, here in Dallas, Texas, the United States of America, broadcasting live here on Blog Talk Radio on the Mwamba World Outreach School of Ministry. Well, it's a blessing to have you listening in wherever you are around the world, because these are broadcasts go around the world. Here in Dallas, Texas, the weather is pretty fine. We are enjoying the weather. God is blessing us. I'm telling you, we've had some bit of rain, but overall, the whole weather is fine. Now, it's calm down, it's cool, and pretty good weather. I know places like in Africa, this is like what? Like, I think in Zambia at this time, it's in April, it's raining there. I know, it's rainy season. I lived in Nigeria, and that place can be cold too and very hot. So in Nigeria, the weather fluctuates. In Europe, I know, it's cold. I spent time in Sweden with my friend there, Lashkana, and it was all snowing. And the thing I liked about the snow there was, we'll pick up these apples, you know, around his house. And it was a nice country there. I liked it. In the Netherlands, in Holland, I liked Amsterdam. We went out in the fresh breeze of the morning. And as we did street evangelism in Amsterdam, I was so blessed and encouraged by the weather. The only thing was, for the first time when I was there, around 11 p.m., it was looking like it was still 4 in the afternoon. Apparently, there's a little shift because you're up in the northern hemisphere. And so there, it takes a while before the sun set, you know, depending on the time of the year. And so, well, here we are in the United States. We have a time when we have contestants, candidates vying for the highest office in the land, president. We have, as you know, here they have the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. In the Democratic, we have two candidates, Hillary Clinton and Ben Sanders. And then the Republican, that's where things are very hot, because they had like 17 candidates and dropped down to 3. I mean, 4 right now. And there's all these jabbering around between the contestants. And we just need God's prayer. They talk about building walls and talk about blocking people from other lands and sending back, you know, immigrants. It's a tough situation, needing a prayer. And so here we are in America, and things are boiling up, but God's grace abounds by His grace. Well, today, if you have looked at my advertisement, on Blog Talk Radio, I'm eager and geared up to speak on giving, being generous, don't give it. My advertisement says Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba presents supporting God's work. Now, I'd like us to turn to the Word of God in the book of 1 Corinthians, and we read from chapter number 10, reading from verse number 1 to number 8. If you have your Bible with you, just follow me in this reading. Here is the word of the Lord. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Verse number 3. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this: have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord, and Cephas? Verse number 6. Oh, I only and Barnabas have not we power to
for their working. Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man? Or saith not the Lord the same also? Now, if you read also further in verse number 9, it says, For it is written in the law of Moses, Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt. This is written that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your kind of things? If others be partakers, verse number 12, if others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather, nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. May the Lord bless the reading of His word. You know, here the Apostle Paul, mainly, he's talking about his ministry.
Firstly, what you need to realize is that the Apostle Paul was challenged as regards his apostleship.
You see, in ministry, you'll be challenged as pertains to your calling. That's why if you're really called of God, you don't really need to worry, because God himself will prove true to whosoever is challenging you. Here, he's writing to the church and speaking forth a strong word to them, telling them that he has the right as an apostle and as their pastor, they have a church in Corinth, to receive the gift of finances and material benefits of his ministry. Now, at first, they challenged him. You know, remember, these are guys who divided amongst themselves. Some said, oh, for Apollos, others said, oh, for Paul. Others said, no, Paul is kind of short and looks like he's blind in some sort of blindness, you know, he's a slow speech or whatever it was. And some said, no, Apollos is a eloquent of speech. That's building groups and parties to a particular preacher. Apollos planted. He says, I planted and Apollos, whosoever it is that works into this ministry, he says, they are there because God sent them and they receive their reward. But you see, the main thing I'd like us to see here is that he says, if I be not an apostle unto others, you doubtless I am to you. For the seal of my apostleship are in the Lord. He's just telling the Corinthians, he says, you know, to others I might not be an apostle. To others, I might not be their pastor, but to you, since I worked in your midst, since I led you to the Lord, since I taught you in the faith, you are the seal of my apostleship.
Paul is saying that if you need proof of my apostleship, it's you yourselves who have been converted through my teaching and their ministry. But then he goes on further to speak. If you look at verse number 3,
he says, my answer to them that do examine me is this, if we have power to eat and to drink.
Now, what you must realize here is that the Apostle Paul took a backseat, as it were, in this work and ministry. The Apostle Paul did not demand any money from the people that he labored amongst. Paul did not strive to get these people to give as they were supposed to according to the scriptures. Now, I can say this very plainly. If you receive teaching, either here or on air, or from your local church, or wherever you get your teaching, and you do not even give, not even a penny, you don't support any of these ministries, it's like you going to a restaurant, you know,
having a nice time at TGI, TG Friday's restaurant, eat the meal and then leave without paying the meal. Now, what I'm saying is, it's not that no, whenever every teaching comes, is being charged to you that you need to pay an amount of money. No. All I'm saying is that we are mandated by the Word of God that as we are blessed spiritually through men of God, through men and women in the things of the Lord, they cause us to become men who can achieve great things in ministry and the work of the Lord. Here the scriptures are telling us that we should remember to give back to the work of God. As we give back to the work of God, this is how that work will be established. And then the men of God, the women of God, will be able to reach more people with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, if we do not give back to the work of God, if we do not supply the finances, where are they going to come from? I remember when I came from Nigeria after 2 years of Bible ministry and studies in Benin City. I finished my associate of arts degree there, and I was the dean to the ministry by Archbishop Ida Hosa to Zambia. I spent 2 years in Nigeria. Then I went there in 1984. I spent 84 and 85. At the end of the year, towards the end of 85 itself, I'd already spent 2 years. I left back to Zambia, where I'm originally from, and I started a church in the city of Luansha, where I'd worked there as a big boss, and I had a very big house and everything. I began to live with an elder Lungwe there, and we started this church in his house. I ordained him as an elder, and another couple, I ordained them as deaconess and deacon. Then from then on, we started to meet in their house. We met there, I think, for 1-2 Sundays. The next Sunday, we went to the secondary school hall, and we began meeting there. Our work began to grow. But I, as a pastor, needed a home, and I needed sustenance. I remember how that the church, you know, the very leaders out of there, they sat together and worked out a story for me. I think at that time, in those days, I think they worked at 200 kwacha. And you know, when you really think of it, especially to the person I met, where I live, neither would it sustain me with my family. But you know, I received it as a gift from the Lord, since the work was very small. But I had to compensate for the deficit that was there. And so I began to pray. I began to seek the face of God. And you know, because I didn't want to end up without clothes or end up without actually finances. It's an obligation sustaining my children for school and all that expenses. And so I just started to pray, and by God's grace, God opened the door for me to a family here in the United States whose mother I met while I was in Nigeria, Dorothy. Dorothy introduced me to her daughter, Gloria. And then Gloria began to support the work of the ministry in India. She started sending us checks to sustain the work of the Lord. Every 2 weeks I received a $400 check. And that worked toward the work of the ministry and then to sustain me as a family. It was a pattern to pastor support. That was a big breakthrough because, you know, if I just depended on the local church, I wouldn't know where I would have been. Now, when I was in Nigeria, the Archbishop taught us a lot that pertains to giving. He himself was a giver. And, you know, for the time I've been there in Nigeria for 2 years, I never seen the bishop play. What I mean is, I never seen a day when the bishop had no money. He was always with finances. He was always supplied. He had money with him. One day he asked me to pick up something because, you know, I was serving him as an Elijah relationship. And so I started living with the Archbishop. I was And then as I live with the archbishop, and then as I live with him, when they asked me to go pick some money, something from the building, but I went up in the Beniz building. And I was amazed what I saw by the headboard. You had all these bundles of brand new cash. I said to myself, gee whiz, this man has got so much money. You know, so the whole point I'm trying to say is that man, he had all these thousands of naira, but he pumped it in the ministry. When we arranged for a crusade in Zambia, he was going to come and build our work in Zambia. He gave me $10,000. $10,000. And I was there packing it up in my briefcase. And I came to Zambia, transacted the money, and started to prepare for the crusade, which was coming up in that September of that year. Oh my God, we had a big meeting. I booked the Pamozi Hotel, the basement. I booked him in the Pamozi Hotel, the presidential room. I booked him up, and it was big. We had vehicles we used. I rented some very fast Eagle cars at that time, which enabled us to, you know, make, you know, errands between the hall, like the Mulungushi Hall. I booked the Mulungushi Hall. The Kulima Tower Complex for the crusade itself. The Grand the Secretary General at that time, were supposed to meet President Kaunda, but at that time the President had an unaligned international conference of presidents in Lusaka. And so we couldn't, he couldn't come, but instead he recommended that we meet with the Secretary General of the government. So it was a fantastic outreach that we had by God's grace. And so, you know, God has been building the work over the years, and the support from the local church has not met my obligation. When it came to look for the home for me to live in, it was me who took the initiative to look for the house. Otherwise, if I did not do it, we would have had no home to live in. Thank God that there was a family friend who was a general manager at the National Office. He says, oh, I'll go see the human resources manager to give you a home. And so he gave us a home, and we started renting to the house. And when it came to time to sell the, you know, sitting occupants, we managed to buy the house. But my whole point is, it's important that we, as members of a work and a church, to support the work where we are being fed. I've sat in some churches many times in a fellowship, and the offering basket is passing by to nothing. The majority of times I've seen people put in nothing. You know, I'm just so trained and so groomed that you must at least drop something there. You know, I know that some people, you know, you might look at it from the physical side of it, that they didn't put anything in the offering basket or the offering bucket. But maybe privately they could have written a check to the church. We don't know that. Or maybe they could have written a direct deposit into the church. We don't know that. So from that perspective, you cannot judge an individual on saying you did not give, because I do not know. But you know, many times people go by what they can see, what they can see you put in the offering basket. Now, Paul goes on further here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, in verse number 5, he says, have we not power to read about a wife? To read about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas. Single man, and he lived a single life, he was not married. Excuse me. But he's telling the church that he has a right to do that, just that because he decided and he had that grace upon his life not to get married does not mean that the minister must not be married, like maybe the Catholic Church emphasizes on a priest not to be married. He says, we don't we have a right just like Cephas? Cephas is Peter, he's talking provided for their food so that they had the what to eat and they had clothes to wear. So he's just challenging the congregation and the church. He said, don't we have these rights? You see, he said, we have rights just like the other apostles to eat and to drink. But just because, you know, the Apostle Paul never took advantage of this particular grace does not mean that they were not entitled. Look at what it says there in verse number 6. For I only and Barnabas have not with power to forbear workings. Now, here Paul was a minister and an apostle to the church at Corinth, but he still worked. Why did the apostle Paul work? The reason was there was no consistent support that came from the church at Corinth. And because of that, the apostle Paul had to take on a job. You understand? This is what it is as a minister of the gospel. If you are in a work, maybe you started a work, and the local congregation don't have the means to meet your financial obligation, you have a right to get a job and work. Because that's the way you're going to sustain yourself. Now you say, well, Bishop, you know, I can't get back to working. That's not being holy. No, who said that? Who said that? Look at the Apostle Paul right now. He's telling you that is it only me and Barnabas who have got to forbear workings? That means he was working to meet his obligation. And when he even came to, especially in Africa, they said, well, if you're in full time ministry, you don't need to work. I had that concept myself. But when I came to the United States and I saw that there was a great need of us ministers to build a work from scratch, then you get 34 people who can help support your ministry. Before you get to that stage, my friend, you gotta have a home to live in. You gotta have mobility. You gotta have a car. And so initially, you have to work. I work to sustain myself before God will release the finances that I need and sustain me in full-time ministry. And so here Paul is saying, is it only me and Barnabas that we should forbear working? Have we not power to lead about a wife and verse number 6? Or I only and Barnabas have not we power to forbear working? We go with a warfare anytime that is on chain. We plant a vineyard and eat a lot of the fruit thereof. Who feed us a flock and eat a lot of the milk of the flock? So he's saying, who at any time as a farmer, who at any time goes to war and fights his own battle and is not paid by the government of the war on your own charges? You see, what he's saying that ministry he was in, the ministry we are in, we are sent by the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we are sent by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord is supposed to meet our needs. And part of all our needs are going to be met by you. See, like the people who listen to this ministry, you are obligated to remember, so Bishop Mamba ministered to me. And because of that, they say, well, you know, I'm going to give so much to this man of God to support his work and ministry. There's nothing wrong with ministers coming to you and asking you to give, you know, because that's another way of supporting a ministry of the Lord. You know, when you do that, you plant a seed and God will reward you for doing it. So Paul said, nobody goes to a warfare but is an expert. And he also says, who planted a vineyard and ate a lot of the fruit there? When you think of yourself, can you imagine you plant a vineyard or you have a farm and you don't eat nothing from the farm? That doesn't make sense. So when you plant comes from that farm, isn't it? Yeah. But here, the apostle Paul was like to neglect it. There is a tendency in the body of Christ to neglect the work of God. People, they think the man of God is going to look at in after himself supernaturally. Mind you, the man of God lives where you live. We are all a when you give your healing, your part as a servant of God, supporting the God's work, supporting God's minister, God is going to reward you for it. Because you know there is this principle in the world. The Bible says, seed time and harvest shall never cease, as long as the earth remains. This means the time of to plant and the time to harvest will never stop as long as the earth remains. You know, God said that after the flood of Noah, when Noah came out of the ark and he gave a sacrifice to God, God said, see, time and harvest. As long as the earth remains, the seasons will be there. Summer, winter, rain, sun, sunshine, day and night shall always be there. And he also said that seed time and harvest shall never cease. As long as the earth remains. So this means that when you plant a seed or you give to the ministry, God will reward you and give you a harvest to present. Or like God is answering back to what you've given. So he says that here, verse number 8 of 1 Corinthians 10, say I these things as a man, or saith not the law, the same also. Verse number 9. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Does not take care of the oxen. People are saying, okay, am I saying this just like a man? But he says, look, it's written even in the law of Moses. What is written in the law of Moses? That you must not muzzle up the mouth of the ox that treadeth corn. What does that mean? Seal up the mouth of the ox as it's treading the corn. Let the ox eat of the corn that it's treading in case it's hungry. You know, the ox can keep on treading the corn, muzzle its mouth or tap its mouth so it can eat. The ox can faint and collapse. This is the Lord saying, you, as a child of God, as you labor in the ministry of the minister of the gospel, do not muzzle like the man of God, that you cannot eat nothing in the house of God.
I had a good treasurer when I had my ministry in Zambia. And every offering, the tithe and offering every Sunday, she gave me a report of what we received, and I knew the money was going and how much was going to the bank. And we had obligations and things to do, and we made a budget to meet those obligations. And it's very important, you know, like now ministry is right here in Dallas. Like I think she did in my family and I live in they spend millions of dollars. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you're talking of about $10,000, and maybe you just set up a ministry, you're just giving God for $1,000. Can you imagine $50 billion? It involves supply, it involves a lot of stuff. But listen, God will meet you at your point of need as you're faithful unto Him. Well, this is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mumba signing off here in Dallas and saying, God bless you, be a giver.